Hello, party people, and I need to explain a couple of things here about where we're at. First off, where we are, I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce the bejesus out of this, Djúpalagsandur. It is a black beach in Iceland. Now, you notice I didn't say black sand because this is not sand. These are rocks. These are pebbles. They're really big pebbles. And this is a 360 video. So if you spin the video around, you'll get a sense for what this is like here. These are big pebbles. And I wish you could hear it, but the waves make an amazing noise as they bring these pebbles in and then pull them back out with each crashing wave. It's just this really neat sound. I've never heard anything like it anywhere else on any other beach. As to why they're not ground down into sand yet, I don't know. I guess this is an area of Iceland that has had a lot of volcanic activity in the near recent past. There, you can also, as you spin around here, you'll see all kinds of lava rock here around me. And then there's a glacier back behind me as well. The next thing I got to explain is that right now you're looking at this thinking, Brent, that looks like a boring, dreary, overcast day. Nope. This is, I don't know if you can see this, it is not 11:57 a.m. It is 11:57 p.m. This is part of the fun of visiting Iceland in the summer, is that you get these really long days where you can go gallivanting all over the country. I didn't even think I was going to make it up to this point of Iceland in this trip, but I have been all over the place thanks to these really long days and able to just sneak naps while my little Tesla camper is charging up. So that's been really glorious. Just absolutely all over the place. So let's take advantage of this nice little time together and let's go take a look at your top voted questions from PollGab. Let's see here. So the top voted question is from STLDBA, who says, I'm running a 3-server availability group. I've always wondered if it would be better to have a fewer larger databases instead of many smaller ones. Why not have one database with schemas per application? So the first thing you want to think about is it's probably too late. That ship has already sailed once the databases are already built. The other thing you want to think of is, do you want to restore all of those databases at the exact same point in time? And do you want to fail them over together at the exact same point in time? If you do, generally having them grouped together into the same database is easier. The rules start to change a little bit when the database goes up over a terabyte in size. There's nothing magical about 1 terabyte, but if they get to 1 terabyte, they're probably going to get to 5 terabytes and 10 terabytes. And the larger that they become, the harder it is to do performance tuning on them because they're all fighting for the exact same resources. Whereas if you leave them in individual databases, you can move them to other servers so that they don't compete for the same resources. But there you go. There's a good high-level overview of what your options are. The one thing I would say is, once the applications are already built, don't waste any of your political capital trying to change the app designs to get them to move over into one database. The juice isn't worth the squeeze there. Your ease of doing an availability group does not pay off all of the work they'd have to do to change all their connection strings, put stuff into different tables, put stuff into different schemas, worry about table conflicts where you've got 2 tables with the same name but in different schemas because inevitably somebody didn't prefix their schema or you run into join problems, that kind of thing. Next up, Eric says, I am using Ola Hallengren's index optimized jobs. Every so often, it'll deadlock with an internal stats update that the server is doing. Why does this happen, and how do I minimize it? From a really big picture, when internal stats updates, and I assume by internal stats updates you mean automatic stats updates on user tables, what's most likely happening is that your tables are churning enough, like the seas in the background, your tables are churning enough that they're kicking off automatic stats updates before your jobs kick off. So there are a few ways that you can go about fixing that. One is that you can do stats updates more often, because maybe you're only doing them once a week. Another thing you can try to do is do it when end user activities aren't happening. And finally, the last thing that I would suggest is take a look at what table they probably have in common. What's the table that keeps getting automatic stats updates at the same time as your job? You might have a queue table that's continuously flushing and hitting the stats updates triggers. You probably want to turn off auto stats updates on that table and just use Ola Hallengren stats updates instead. So, man, as soon as I say that out loud, I'm like, I'm going to have to explain that, because you're going to have a bunch of follow-up questions. So let's hit it. So I said turn off stats updates on a table that churns all the time. So if the table churns all the time, do I really need accurate stats for it? Let's say it's a queue table with a list of rows to be processed. The data in there, when we think about what we're querying for in a queue table, is just like, show me the rows where is processed equals zero. Do you really need accurate stats on that? Not really, because you're probably just nibbling off the rows one at a time in order to do updates to a queue. Or maybe you're sucking rows out of that table and pushing them into another table somewhere else. If it's something like that, you don't really need accurate stats. It doesn't really matter whether SQL Server estimates one row or 1,000. It's going to constantly have shifting plans on those anyway. Next up, Bob the developer says, I have a database that is bigger than RAM. That's true in most places. I would like SQL Server to cache it entirely in memory for read performance. If I page compress and then shrink the database when I load it from flat files, it fits comfortably. Is this reasonable? You know, it's been a while since I've asked this question, but I'd say, what's the problem that you're trying to solve? If the problem that you're trying to solve is that your I/O is slow, rather than micromanaging stuff like compression, I have nothing against compression. It's totally fine if you want to do that. But the thing that I would look more at is indexes, because it sounds like you're probably doing table scans. You should be able to have indexes to get roughly the rows you want. If you find yourself in a position where the queries are frequently doing table scans, maybe it's an analytics database where people are reporting across all of the data, and the compression that's really going to get you closer to the finish line is probably going to be column store. Check out columnscore.com if that is indeed the problem that you're trying to solve, and you have already tried solving it with regular indexes, non-clustered row store indexes. Check out columnscore.com with a C. That's a site I put together that helps you understand whether or not column store indexes might be a good fit for the problem you're trying to solve. Next up, oh, that's funny. Seek and Destroy asks, if a query uses an index scan, does that automatically mean something is wrong? No, you can have leaderboard queries, for example. Show me the top 10 users by reputation. Show me the top 100 newest placed orders. Show me the top 100 service calls that are open in the queue right now. And it's perfectly normal to see SQL Server do a scan on that index until it hits enough rows to satisfy your predicate. If you see an index scan with a top operator in the plan, not a sort, but a top, you can be totally fine. Another place where it might be totally fine is column store indexes, because column store index scan is the only operator that they implemented for column store indexes. They didn't implement a seek, they just implemented scan, so everything looks like a scan in the plan. Let's see. Oh, Quiet asks, can you have a great database career without blogging, speaking, posting online, or building a public reputation? Can you have a great job? Yes. Can you have a great career? Well, what's going to happen when you lose your job? Where's the next job going to come from? If you do a really good job, hate to use the same word twice, but if you do a really good job of evangelizing yourself amongst other employees who go on to do other stuff at other companies, you might be able to get your next job via word of mouth that way. But I tell you what, in the year 2026, if you're relying on just a resume in order to get your next job, it's going to be really hard. It is a bloodbath out there right now. It's really tough for any tech job. So I would just, that's where I go. It's going to be easier to have a career stringing together multiple jobs over the case, cause the string of that time span of that career. Used a lot of words there. It'll be easier to do that if you have some kind of public reputation. But you can totally have one great job. I know people who, for example, work at Microsoft. Nobody outside has ever heard of them. They just plug away their whole lives at Microsoft and have a great career, but they just only have that one job. So it makes it easier. Next, used to be a DBA says, why is it that when people start talking about data governance or a medallion architecture, I feel like I'm listening to someone's personal manifesto? I think that it's because right now those kinds of topics usually involve someone who's doing evangelism. They're having to preach to the company to get their idea accepted. They're having to do marketing in order to get other people to buy into the work required. I'll tell you another angle for it is documentation. Very often, before a company starts implementing documentation, somebody has to take it as their personal cause to say, we're going to build checklists, we're going to document how this stuff works, we're going to have it tested so that anybody can pick up the documentation and run with it. So if you replace medallion architecture or data governance with documentation, that probably rings true too for you as well. There are just some things like preventative maintenance that always require cheerleaders in a company. I think that the vast majority of companies haven't embraced data governance or medallion architectures yet and may never do it. They may never get into it, but it sounds like somebody, what's the old joke? How do you know when someone's a vegetarian? Oh, they'll tell you. For a while, there was a joke like that going around about PowerShell. How do you know somebody's into PowerShell? Oh, don't worry, they'll tell you. Hey, did you know you could use PowerShell? Hey, do you know PowerShell works with that? Hey, guess what I did with PowerShell? There are always technologies that are on the edge that are being evangelized by people who know it well. AI is a good example of that right now. And data governance and medallion architectures are in that early phase of not really being accepted amongst a lot of companies yet. Sometimes those techs do take off and do well. PowerShell did really well for a really long time. These days, I don't see, as many people going into it, using it as much compared to Python. You know, Python really took over in terms of a scripting language, cross-platform and all that. No, by no means am I saying PowerShell is dead. It's doing just fine, but I think it's kind of going back out to sea and being gradually replaced by Python. I would expect, if you asked me to look at a crystal ball, data governance is one of those things that we should all have, but most companies don't. because it's expensive and involves a lot of documentation, usually a lot of consultants. Money is tight right now at a lot of companies. They don't want to spend on things that they see as frivolous. I don't know that data governance is ever going to catch on outside of like the ITIL crowd, ITIL. Medallion architectures, I think is, I don't want to say a flash in the pan, but I think it's going to be replaced by another idea of what's cool to do with BI at some point in the near future, just because BI's been in a lot of flux lately. All right, well, we got a bunch of questions answered there. It is now the next day. It is now Sunday, I suppose. We've crossed over the midnight line. It is amazing to me to see. I saw a couple of other people in here on the beach as I was walking in. And it's just funny to see other tourists out and around enjoying the midnight sun, making the most of their time here. Today, now that it's Sunday, will be my last full day in Iceland. I am going to go walk around this beach, enjoy this beach. I absolutely love it. And then go see some sights from the Game of Thrones, like Snæfellsnes Mountain, or Mount Kirkjufell, I think it's called, on the Snæfellsnes Peninsula here. Do some more Central Highlands driving. I was going up over mountains yesterday, having a good old time with that. And then head back into Reykjavik for some dinner, some good lamb soup. They're so good with, I'll have to do one of the other office hours here and talk about how they handle food here. It's really quite remarkable. So hopefully y'all had fun and learned something, and I will see y'all on the next office hours. Adios.